from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This is Gresh and Fourier.
Here's the pitch. Raffy swings and misses. He strikes out, and the ball game is over. The Orioles win it. They split this four-game series, final today, 4-2, Baltimore.
It's that time.
Gresh and Fourier right now on WEEI.
Well, a split won't get it done, ladies and gentlemen. Kissing the sister for the Red Sox doesn't work. That's where we begin here on this Patriots Monday, because Andy Hart is in for Foyer, and we are scheduled to be joined by Jawan Bentley. Approximate time is 10:15. We'll put the approximate on there. Could be a skosh early, could be a skosh late-ish.
I like to use ish.
So 10:15-ish.
Somebody asks you for an answer, you say, $1,000-ish.
Here's
10:15-ish.
Yeah, and here's what we've been told. Josh Uche could be at 1, or he could be at 10:30.
Oh.
So we're kind of on alert of, hey, it's Bentley and Uche at sometime today.
Yeah.
There
we go. Head on a swivel.
Yeah, I think we are going to get Bentley early. Uche will be a little different, might be a little sliding scale there, but... Yeah, let's start with the Red Sox, where they go to Baltimore and they split the series and they don't play bad, but right now that's just not enough, unfortunately, for the Red Sox. And, of course, Kansas City deals with Cincinnati. Guess what they did? Swept. So now Kansas City is able to extend that lead a little bit. And then the Red Sox are now going to go to Houston. Will Fleming is on the docket for noon today with us here on Gresh and Fourier. Hart's in for Fourier. And Kansas City gets the Angels.
Mm.
So by the time we hit Thursday this week, Hart, there's a chance
all over.
The Red Sox could be 4.5 back when it's all said and done if Kansas City keeps rolling.
Yeah, I don't want to say they're falling or sinking like a stone or any of those dramatic, but it feels like the Red Sox are trending in the wrong direction in terms of competing for a postseason spot.
And the other teams around them too. Like, I thought Kansas City and Minnesota might slide back a little bit. Instead, they're nipping at the heels of the Cleveland Guardians for the division lead in the Central.
And based on the way you handled the Astros the last time you faced the Astros, things may not go that great.
Yeah, I think there's a receipt due.
And Tanner Houck is pitching, and he's really, speaking of trending in the wrong
direction.
Well,
yeah, I think the Tanner Houck sort of
Houckamania.
Well, the innings.
What you going to do when he throws fastballs at
you? Well, what you going to do?
I'm going to hit him hard.
Now, what you're going to do is you needed to cap him at 100 and maybe 40 innings or something like that. And it's good that Tanner Houck is going through it to get the experience. However, in living it in real time right now, to your point, Hart, holy crap. He's been getting beat around a little bit.
A little BP-ish.
And I don't think it is, Tanner Houck can't pitch. This is the whole virgin territory for him in terms of the innings. And you got to go through it at some point, get him up there, and we'll see what happens tonight. I know our crew will be all over it on the Shaw's and Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Network from Houston. Again, Will Fleming should be joining us at noon, but that's really where the Red Sox are. They went and made moves. They went and got the reliever Garcia, who has just not been great. Like, I can't fault, per se, Craig Breslow, he won a battle. Like, he won a trade battle for this player. The problem is the players come in and not been very good.
And that's the reality of, I think, in all of sports maybe, middle relievers in baseball are the weirdest acquisitions. Because you get some guy you think stinks, and all of a sudden some switch gets flipped and he's good, and vice versa. Some guy has a great year and you sign him to a 3-year deal and you immediately regret it and go,
and then your Matt Barnes.
What have I done? It's crazy. It's crazy. Relievers in baseball, how they ebb and flow in any given year. But you're right. There was that positivity of the trade deadline. Then you get Tristan Casas back.
Yeah.
And things are kind of,
all right.
Chris Bryant. And then they're not. And part of that is the pitching. We knew the first part of the season, that early run, month and a half, where pitching was so good. You knew it wasn't probably sustainable. It's why I was a skeptic of this team. I remember Jones fought with me about whether this is a playoff team, and he was on the optimistic side, which is, I don't know what the hell was going on there with him that day. He was having a moment. And I was like, in baseball, you can't just say, pitcher X did this for the first 90 games, and he's going to do it over the final 70. That's not how it works until you realize 3 years later, oh no, that's who this guy is. He's an ace.
Right.
He can give you full seasons. Or we learned it, you know, with Dahlbeck a couple years ago, like, oh, this guy had X number of home runs over the final 2 months, so now we'll just say next year he'll do that over the whole season. No, that's not how baseball works.
And we did the same thing with Brian Dahlbeck, and yet we did it again with Bobby Dahlbeck.
Correct.
We just repeat the same optimistic mistakes because you pray to God that you got a 30 home run bopper or something like that.
And it's why it's such an infuriating sport at times. I always go back to James Earl. That's baseball, right? That's baseball.
Oh, yes, like, that's right. The game of baseball.
Well, guess what? Tanner Houck falling apart over the second half of the season. That's baseball, Ray. That's how that's going to work. So, yeah, these are your Red Sox. And it just kind of hit me as we are going to trend here from Red Sox into Patriots at some point.
Yeah,
with
we are.
That is baseball.
That's right. Oh, my friend Mad Dog. By the way, so much for plugging Gerard Bentley at 10:15.
Okay.
So we now have Bentley at 1 and Josh Uche to be determined.
TBD. Feels like both players got downgraded. 1 to 1 o'clock, and
both players 10 to 2 ish.
Ish. And if not, then 2 to 6 ish. And then if not, 6 to 8 ish. They'll keep on moving. No, but what I was going to say, based on last. Okay, don't let this ruin your show. Come on, I got 4 hours with you, big guy. I need some positivity, some energy. And that's why I was going to ask you, based on what transpired last Thursday night and the way a lot of people reacted to what they saw.
Yeah.
Is there weirdly a little bit more buzz and positive momentum in Patriot Nation than Red Sox Nation right now? For a team that I projected to win 0 games?
I would say maybe.
With an emphasis on may.
Yeah,
look at you, radio professional.
I think it is more some people waking up and being like, oh, okay. The kid showed a flash.
He doesn't suck.
Bingo. I think it is much more that, because when you look at the Red Sox, there is the, okay, they got Cora. He's settled in. Cora's been very aggressive and managed. Like, Cora is now managing like he's got the security of a contract now.
Yeah.
So that does kind of excite me a little bit. I do think there are still some people who, when you look at the Kansas City Royals, you're like, come on, man, the Kansas City Royals, like, we're not good enough to beat them.
Yeah.
Whereas Here, it was, yay, new coach, things will be different. And then ever since, I think people have been like, wait, it's that bad? Or wait, this kid can't get in there? And oh my God, it's Jacoby Brissett? I think last week was more of the, oh, okay, thank God, he's not going to fall apart right. So early, more than, yay, this team will be awesome.
Oh, yeah, not a yay, this team is awesome, just an energy, a buzz. Like, I think it was palpable at Gillette Stadium, not just with mm-hmm. the fans. I thought the team, like, you kind of felt a little something when May was in there.
Right, I mean, when Philadelphia sat all their starters on both sides, listen, how could you not?
I don't care for the negativity in your voice right now.
I'm just
you
got to
start
this.
Somewhere.
No, I even said it, that even though May's doing it, I think people have level jumped. Like, again, it wasn't Darius Slay and Jordan Davis out there,
no.
But it was a good step that the kid needed to take.
In the positive direction.
Yeah.
And that's where I say I feel like there's a little momentum in Patriot Nation.
A little.
Hashtag play May I may be using on Twitter a lot.
I mean, a little until I think people start to, you know, maybe look around or here come the final cuts. And yeah, I'll tell you what might have freaked people out a little bit more. The weaponizers of the offense couldn't shake free from Billy Lanny on press coverage, it felt like, on Thursday. And again, that wasn't Darius Slay and people that were out there. Those guys were trying to get open against. I think, unfortunately, hard for Patriot fans. For every good, there's the bad. And then it is the worry of the coach and how will all of this just kind of work out. And then there is the, do you think Patriot Nation has wrapped their head around what they are about to see this season?
I do not.
And you know what? And
some has. Not a majority.
I think there is kind of a like first three game awakening that is about to come along, which will be, oh my God.
Well, I mean, we'll see. Yeah, we don't know exactly what's going to happen. Weird stuff happens in sports. Weird stuff happens in football. I mean, it could happen.
More 6-0 wins. The defense is just going to be nails again.
Because, I would not bet on it.
Well, no, and I wasn't even with Barmore and Judon, let alone you now trade one because he became a pain in the ass, and I want to circle back on that later because as much as I praised Elliot Wolf, I don't know if he set a good precedent with something, but we'll get to it.
Mm.
And with Barmore, somebody asked me, hey, when's Barmore coming back? I'm like, plan for him to be done for the year, and if you get him, it becomes a bonus. Like,
yep.
Elliot Wolf's got to go out and build the football team thinking, in my opinion, that Barmore's not going to be there. But, yeah, a little bit of renewed maybe enthusiasm.
Whereas I think the Red Sox, there was renewed enthusiasm at the trade deadline.
Yeah.
And then there was even a little renewed enthusiasm after you get kind of stomped by the Astros, you still bounce back and you're mm-hmm. still hanging around. But now you're 3.5 out heading into a series with the Astros.
Yeah.
I think there's a little, this ride might be over for this year. We might be just about petering out here.
We're almost, I would say this series is massive. Let's say Kansas City sweeps and the Red Sox turn around and lose 2 out of 3.
Right,
and then you're 5 back of what is the third wild card spot.
Right.
Because you have Minnesota and Kansas City that are battling in there as well. I think the difference this morning is KC is like a game back of the Twins, but might be closer, similar in the loss column. Something of that nature to where those two teams are neck and neck. They've only got one series left. But to your point, yeah, we're also turning the page to September.
Yeah.
Where in the football world, hope does spring eternal. Really, it's hope summer's eternal. Because normally, 3 weeks into September, you kind of realize, oh, boy,
right,
this ain't going to be good. And I think that will set in. I think the one thing that I'm struggling with is how ugly will it look at certain times of the season? Like, early on, I'm expecting there'll be some deer in the headlights look from the sidelines. There'll be Jacoby picks. There'll be issues.
Mm-hmm.
But in the final 4 weeks of the regular season, let's say, it's a little bit like when we started the year with the Red Sox. Hey, if the record isn't great, but the young guys come along to support the other young guys that are coming along, okay, now you're maybe building something sustainable. There could be the silver lining. Will we be able to get over how bad it's going to look in the first 4 weeks of this year to hope to God there is that on the back end? Because we've really, I think, heart-tied it into Drake May in so many ways. But what if these draftable wide receivers don't develop? Can Caden Wallace play on one side or the other? There, it's more than just Drake May that Elliott Wolf and crew have really invested in those weaponizers.
Well, it's
we're
why,
waiting for them to step up.
It's why everybody got so excited on Drake May's touchdown run that there were six draft picks on the field, a couple linemen, a couple receivers, the quarterback, the whole thing. And that is, I think, what people are banking on. It's where Jerod started the year.
Mm-hmm.
Measuring success with, did we build a foundation? Did we build a foundation of players for where we're going, whether that be holdover players, young players, new players, all coming together, how that foundation looks. But did you build a foundation? And to answer your question, you were posing a question, Patriot Nation. Are they ready for what they're going to see? I would go a little closer, a little dial in the focus. Is everybody at Gillette Stadium, including the people working there, ready for what could happen?
Well, let's talk to one of them. I guess our heads are on a swivel today.
Yes.
Trying to figure out which order we will get the players today. But joining us now as a part of Patriots Monday, it is New England Patriots defensive end pass rusher Josh Uche, brought to us by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh, and Drains by James, Eastern Mass's top provider of drain and sewer cleaning and repair. Josh, it's Gresh and Andy Hart. How are you this morning?
Doing good. How are you guys?
Good, good. I know, Josh, there was a lot of talk of your return coming back to New England. You saw opportunity here where maybe others didn't. Can you just sort of shed some light on that now? And have you been proven right even more in your thought process now that we're almost through training camp?
Yeah, my thought process on coming back to New England was based on the sole fact that this is the team that drafted me. You know, they believed in me from the start and have developed me, and this is where I've grown, and this is where I want to be. And that was a big factor in me coming back. And, you know, as training camp has progressed, you know, the coaches are buying in. They invest a lot into their players, time, effort, energy, everything. And, you know, we're seeing that unfold right now.
We always hear We always hear players say, you know, it's a business when we ask them about trades or free agent departures or cuts. I'm wondering, how does the trade of Matthew Judon, who was a big fan of yours, supporter of yours, mentor for you, how does that affect you personally, and how does that affect the defense as a whole?
You know, I feel like Judon was an integral part of our team, but the infrastructure of the Patriots is we treat everything like a game day scenario, from practices to everything. So we're prepared, and we're going to work hard every day to go out there and put our best foot forward, you know, regardless of, you know, who is on the field. And, you know, it's the next man up. You know, we love Judon as a person, as a player, as everything, but it's a next man up mentality, and it's our responsibility to, you know, pick it up.
Josh, where do you see yourself fitting in on this defense? Are you just a third down guy? Do you have to continue to work hard to get on the field in the earlier downs? How do you see your role within this defense?
You know, I see my role as someone who can help in many different facets, from whether it be third down to early downs to coordination, you name it, you know. So it's really, you know, what's needed at the moment, at the time. And, you know, that's what the mantra here in New England is do your job. And that can change from week to week, day to day, but you just have to be able to do your job at the end of the day.
You mentioned Mayo and everything that's kind of transpiring under Mayo, but as a defense, you guys have DeMarcus Covington as the coordinator, the new play caller. We've seen a decent amount of blitzing, for whatever it's worth, in preseason games. How do you see the way DeMarcus is handling things, and how do you think he's putting sort of his stamp on his defense now?
Yeah, DeMarcus's philosophy is definitely very interesting. I mean, we've added a couple, you know, interesting things into the playbook. You know, we got some new faces, you know, in the different position rooms, and it's been great. You know, there's been a lot of things that we put into place that hasn't been shown during the preseason, but you know, it's all about applying pressure. And, you know, that's one thing about the Marcus. He's all gas, no brakes. So, you know, it's been fun.
Josh, as you see this defense year to year, where do you think this group will have to work to be able to maintain the level that you played at last season? Is it an overall thing? Is there a group that needs to step up? Kind of how do you see this defense trying to get better from some of the great numbers that you put up last year?
I mean, it's overall. It's an, you know, ever-evolving process. We can get better in all phases, and, you know, that's how we become better as a team is everyone tries to find an area they can improve on, and we just do it together.
We all know the quarterback is the focal point of fans, talk radio, everything, and you have a rookie quarterback you face on the practice field, Drake May, number 3 pick. Just wondering, from your vantage point on the defensive side of the ball, what you've seen from the young quarterback you go against on the practice field.
You know, I've seen some good things from Drake May, Joe Milton, you know, Jacoby, Zappy. I've seen great things from all those guys, and it's just it's something that they're going to have to be hashing out throughout, you know, throughout training camp as we come here to a close. And, you know, that's what it is. I mean, my job description is, defense. You know, I'm not a quarterback guru. I don't evaluate those guys. I don't know too much. My job is to go get those guys, honestly. But, you know, I'm sure, you know, their coaches are doing a great job evaluating them, and I'll leave that up to them.
Have you seen, because obviously you talk about your job is to go get quarterbacks, and you see quarterbacks that are tough to get, Josh Allen or young, you know, Patrick Mahomes, guys that can run a little bit, can throw from weird angles and weird spots. Hell, we saw Patrick Mahomes go behind the back the other day in a preseason game. How challenging is that when there is a quarterback like Drake May who can run a little bit and maybe roll left and throw right sidearm and some of the things that he's shown the ability to do? Does that add, plant a seed in the back of your mind as you are rushing a guy?
Definitely. I mean, just the versatility of a guy, you know, it definitely changes your approach at times. But, you know, personally, I think that makes it that much more fun, and or you have to get that much more creative in your attack approach. But definitely guys that are able to do, you know, things that are outside of the box, you know, definitely, you know, can put different defenses in different positions. So having a guy with versatility is definitely important.
All right, now I do want to ask you, I'm looking at a tweet from the Red Sox on June 5th of this year, and it says, Josh Uche in the house for a ceremonial first pitch. However, Josh, I must ask, did you bring your own glove to your own ceremonial first pitch?
I did not. That was definitely borrowed. definitely borrowed.
All right, good. Because I was going to say, I think you know better, but when I saw the glove on the hand, I was like, whoa, wait a minute. They normally don't give the ceremonial guys a glove to be able to catch the ball. So I thought you went all Doug Flutie and like went to a game and brought your own glove.
No, sir. They definitely lent that to me. Appreciate the Red Sox for that. I had a great time there. Shout out to that organization. Great guys, for sure.
Did you play, like, baseball growing up or anything? Was it like riding a bike, or did you have to kind of, like, get out there and sort of warm it up a little bit like you're one of your quarterbacks that you're chasing down?
Yeah, definitely had to warm it up there on the sideline. A couple games of catch and, you know, just they gave me some pointers that, hey, just don't throw it short. You know, if you're going to do anything, make sure you overthrow it instead of underthrowing it. So I was, you know, a little bit nervous. Felt like third down, definitely. But, you know, I made sure I threw it over his head, way over his head instead of.
Who would have, had you completely botched that, who would have been the one teammate that you know would have been texting you maybe just moments after you might have airmailed it into the stands or something?
I'm a teammate that would have been chirping at me about that.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's interesting. I would have to go definitely Anthony Jennings. Definitely.
There we go. I like it. Jennings, definitely. All right, yeah. Josh, thanks for the time this morning. Have a good practice. Get in some good work, and we'll catch you down the road.
Awesome. Appreciate you guys.
All right, there we go. There goes Josh Uche, and he is also brought to us by Verizon, the official 5G network of the Patriots. So it looks like Jawan Bentley will be later today.
TBD.
So flip those dudes around. All I hear in the old pass rush drills is yelling at defensive ends. As wide as the widest, as deep as the deepest. You know what I mean? Don't overrun them, but don't undercut them at the same time either. It's the delicate dance the pass rush defensive end has to play out there.
I guess I can't read into his answer in any way that he's a Drake May guy, huh? You know, we're going to start to do that where we see if, like, oh, the players want Drake May.
No, but you know what we're getting? A lot of, it's not my role to evaluate the guys. Come on now.
We all have opinions.
Sure.
We've all been on teams.
Well, and
we're
especially.
All like, I think that guy's better.
And asking the defensive guys, too, like, yeah. what a novel concept. They're on the phone, and it's like, okay, well, you're a defensive guy. You play against the good ones. What do you see?
And he kind of acknowledged, going against Drake May, there's more things I have to consider when I'm turning that corner.
No doubt.
He could embarrass me and make a funny throw or a funny run or a tuck and run, and there's just things he can do that some can't.
You know as well as I do, 4 weeks in, that bootleg package is going to be out of there because everybody will be all over it. Like, we're all going nuts. He runs right and throws left and runs left and throws right.
We'll see. Or the little zone read on the inside, baby.
Week 8, here comes the bootleg, and guess what happens? Oh, they're picking Drake's teeth up off the floor. Because
they
ran 40 of them in the first 4 weeks, and everybody's caught up on it.
Is there anything you like about this football team?
Huh?
Huh?
What?
Who?
Who? Where? I like the start times. 1 o'clock on Sundays. We'll take that, right?
That happens when you stink.
And there are things that what is to like?
I will challenge you to come up with five things you like about the Patriots in the next 3.5 hours.
Fans can't do that either.
Five. I want five things in the next 3.5 hours that you like.
Fat kickers. There we go.
Oh, here. Big biceps so we can tackle on kickoffs.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, that's awesome.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Well, the new kickoff rule is
going to... Are we going to kick off much? You got to score to kick off the one they give you.
Well, the new kickoff rule is going to change the game.
Something else he hates.
It's going to put
people... negativity. I can't take it.
You like the kickoff rule now? Didn't put you to sleep?
Waiting to see when they scheme it up in the regular season.
Oh, yeah. Here we go. Mister,
scheme it up.
Oh, I'm going to... You hate everything, but I'm going to wait for judgment.
First time I see a trap block on a kick return, then I'm going to be intrigued to see what happens.
Oh, God.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, more Gresh and Fauria
on WEEI and streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
CJ Stroud make it difficult for you guys with patience shown to these quarterbacks?
Yeah, I mean, kind of if you go look at it, like CJ Stroud was sort of the anomaly in that regard. But, you know, again, it's not about one person or one player. It's about where the offense is and where Jacoby is and where the team is. And so we're just kind of focused on that.
That is Elliot Wolf, who held a press conference, what was it, yesterday?
Yes.
To be like, hey, the O-line's good enough even for the young guy. Like, let's change that narrative right now. And most were like, all right, Elliot, hold on, don't know so much about that. But I'll tell you what, I think Elliot Wolf has done a really nice job. I know people are like, $49 million in cap space, what's he doing? Well, he took a couple of swings. It was evident Brandon Ayuk did not want to come here, so they pulled the plug on that to make themselves look good. But no, if there's one guy, and I disagree with the whole giving Judon the choice of Atlanta or Chicago. I mean, we're really now getting to the bending over and boot licking with the players and stuff like that. You do what's best for the organization, not we're going to do what's best for the organization while consulting with the players that we're sending out at the same time.
I blame Robert for that.
But overall, Elliot Wolf has done a very nice job, and holding the line on Judon was important. Very important.
Yeah.
Come once, okay, and you got a case, I'll listen. You want to go back-to-back years? All right. Now we're going to draw the line and have a tough conversation.
You know, could Elliott have made different decisions at the tackle position? Sure.
Probably
now,
so.
You weren't going to get a great tackle. I'm just saying, were there other options? Maybe that ended up being better than Okorafor or better than Lowe. Sure. I can hear that. I'm not in that world of go PFF some guys and tell me there's another right tackle available who might be 3 points better. Whatever. You weren't filling all your voids this offseason.
Correct.
It was never happening. He filled, he thinks, the most important one with the third pick in the draft. If he's right.
And the one that made management happy.
Right. And if he's right, everything else will be fine. If he's wrong, well, I wish him luck in his next job because he'll be out. Like, that's the reality of that situation. But I think there were too many people with this dream scenario, and I was part of it. In pre-draft talk, I talked up the idea like, well, you could get a starting quarterback at 3 and a starting tackle at 32 or whatever they had, blah, blah, blah. You could. Like, in philosophically, hypothetically, it's possible.
Oh, of course.
Highly unlikely.
Correct.
So he took the first step, and now he's going to have opportunities in the next year to take the second step, which could be the Campbell kid out of LSU with a top 5 pick. Spend $100 million on a receiver this offseason, and you'll have a different team this time next August, where we'll be talking about different holes. But too many people, and I think he said C.J. Stroud was the outlier, and he's right. But really, the whole Houston thing, where everybody wants to latch on that this idea that Houston did it overnight and suddenly...
No, they've been building for 3+ years down there.
Sucking forever, yeah. Trading away a franchise QB was a serial alleged predator, basically, with massage therapists. You got Boku picks from that.
Yep.
Like, there was a lot that went into that. So I actually think next year is the year where he can try to pull his best Nick Caserio. Everybody knows I think they're going to have the number one overall pick. And then when you trade that number one overall pick, make sure you get a bounty. Don't go down too far so you can still get your tackle. And then all those extra first-round picks will lay the foundation for the great Elliot Wolf era in New England. That's, to me, his like moment
well,
in the sun is next.
Well, it's clearly his plan, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
oh, 100%. They are tanking.
Yeah,
you can put whatever you want to call it a bridge year.
No.
You want to call it a rebuild year. You want to call it a foundation year, a tank year. You use whatever adjective you want. They are not fixated on winning in 2024.
And it's not also the clean up the cap year either. You know, like Bill, after Brady left, it was, well, we're going to have, what do you call it, the reset.
Oh, yeah, the reset year.
Right?
Yeah,
There's not even any of that. Now it's the, okay, do we have to overpay or do we have to overpay ridiculously to go get veterans and people to come here? I was thinking of this with all the cap space. I wonder who is left on the roster that needs to be addressed and or taken care of. Because I wonder if there, I know I was starting to go through it too, and I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Like, maybe, yeah, you would think about extending someone, but a couple of guys contractually cannot be extended. Like, there's some just real bad timing going on right there. Like, you can't do anything with Gonzalez. You can't do anything with Keon White if you were thinking.
Oh, hey, and I wouldn't want to yet with Gonzalez.
But no.
Unless he's willing to take one of those low money.
Well, and that's the. No, but that's the thing.
And he wouldn't. The air about him, he thinks he's a number one corner, so he's going to be looking for number one corner money, and he's not there yet.
So you've at least got 5 years of certainty with him with the fifth-year option.
Yep. And then I'll franchise him for a year, so that's six.
But I started to think about who were the guys that you could just say, fine, I'm going to give you a four-year, $20 million contract, and here's a $16 million signing bonus so that we can just knock it out this year and be done with it.
Probably nothing.
There really isn't.
Maybe Dietrich Wise. I believe he's in the last year of his deal if you wanted him as a foundational guy.
We had him on Friday, and we straight up asked him, hey, did you think about doing something with your deal? And he was like, no, that's not the way I think.
Yeah.
And it's very mature of him, quite honestly.
But I think that's where Gerard was talking to start the year. You know, you've re-signed the guys you've re-signed. We all know the list.
Sure.
And now you're figuring out how everything fits in around them and long-term deals. Like, that's where I get back to. This year is about the roster more than it is the game field. This year is about the foundation more than it is the record.
We've heard the plan more and more now about the plan for Drake May.
Mm.
Is following the plan.
Why do you keep doing air quotes?
Really going to, because hold on. At the beginning of camp, tell me if I tell a lie.
I will.
All right?
I'll call you.
So at the beginning of camp, we hear from the head coach, well, you know, Jacoby's the veteran guy, and yeah, there'll be a competition, but it won't look like it. And then now the kid starts to come along, and then it's, well, we have a plan in place, and, you know, we like to follow the plan. And then Jermaine Wiggins just asked a follow-up, and it was like, well, I guess he could be in there week one. And it's like, all right, what do we do? I don't know which way to follow from the head coach on this, but I also don't think you need to listen to Mayo to follow along. But does it hurt to follow the plan? We'll get to that next.
Now, more Gresh and Fourier on WEEI.
So, Andy Hart, it feels like whatever the plan is that has been collaboratively constructed for Drake May, it feels like they're sticking to the plan, doesn't it?
I don't know. I don't know what the plan was.
Well, I feel like the plan was, here's Jacoby for a month or so. Let the kid get his feet underneath of him. Let the coaching staff get their, you know, get rid of their cranius rectus as well through the first 4 weeks. And then here we go. We can get upright and kind of rolling and going on. This is where it feels like the experience, or at least being around the experience that was the Green Bay Packers, how they handled quarterbacks. This very much feels like, to me, whatever plan this is, and I think it is something to the effect of bring in the kid, let him do his thing, let him get used to the NFL, we'll keep working with him, and then he'll get in there at some point this year. It feels very Elliott Wolfish, and if you're a guy like Gerard Mayo, there's not exactly the gravitas there or the offensive experience there for him to, like, pull a Sean Payton and be like, oh, no, I'm an offensive guy, and we're going to play this guy early and da-da-da, very much going along to get along in terms of the creation of the plan.
The problem there is,
yes,
I don't believe Elliott Wolf.
You and your problems.
Yes, lots of problems. I'm still waiting for you to hit me up with one of the five things you like.
I talked about Elliott Wolf, did I not? I just talked about him glowingly.
That counts.
He's done a nice job.
The executive.
Yeah.
So we've mentioned nothing about anyone who will be standing on the turf on game day.
Well,
you didn't mention a player or a coach or anyone that can affect a game on Sundays.
You know what? Elliott Wolf should ride this, because had he gotten Calvin Ridley at $30 million a year, it would have taken us 8 games to realize that was a mistake.
But
nevertheless.
I immediately asked them, whatever show I was on, because I have trouble keeping track what shows I'm on.
Sure.
I asked them to play Garth Brooks' Thank God for unanswered prayers.
There you go.
Because I think that's what that is. If you had signed him, you would have regretted it. Right. And I think the best thing that he ever did was not sign him. And that in the future, when they spend that money on an actual number one, on actual high-end talent.
When they screw it up later, we'll say, that, at least it's not Calvin Ridley.
Nope. When they get Garrett Wilson from the Jets for $150 million, that I'll take. Stop laughing.
God almighty.
Anyway, back to Elliott Wolf, the QB plan.
What's wrong with you?
Has anyone ever sat a rookie quarterback, first-round pick, behind a starter? I'll use you. Can I steal your air quotes?
Sure.
And starter.
We're in air quote season this year for football, this team.
Starter who was as putrid as Jacoby Brissett. Because the problem this summer is as simple as how bad Jacoby Brissett has looked. And look no further than that interception forcing it to Austin Hooper, that Gerard Mayo visually looked pissed on the sideline, and then audibly sounded pissed when he did his Zoom with the media the next day, right? Like, he is Jacoby Brissett is making this hard on everyone with how badly he is playing, because he's supposed to be here to not make dumb mistakes, to hit the plays that are there. Oh, there's a guy down there. He's 12 yards away. He's wide open. You throw the ball to him, then we won't go anywhere after that, but we'll kick a field goal,
mm-hmm.
right? And we're not doing that. You're not doing that. You're turning the ball over. People tend to forget the series right after he threw the pick, he tried again. He was like, had a guy on his ankle, and he just chucked it up over the middle like a rookie quarterback, and it didn't get picked, but it easily could have. So it's great to say we're going to sit a guy behind a veteran, because the veteran's ready, pro-ready was Gerard Mayo's term.
Pro-ready.
I would hope so. He's been in the league 10 years.
Well, he can put his hands under center and take a snap every time.
And that's pro-ready. Perfect. But when it's as bad as it is, that creates pressure. That creates problems. And then when you add in Drake May with a little uptick and an ooh throw and ooh, he's making more throws and he's looking better rather than worse, that adds to it. But the biggest problem Gerard Mayo has right now with the plan, whatever the plan is Jacoby Brissett and how poorly he has played.
Well, in the moment right now, that definitely is a factor. I think the bigger factor that worries me a little more is through collaboration.
Oh boy, air quotes again.
We've come up with the plan for this guy,
mm-hmm.
and to me, it satiates in many ways two people, Robert and Jonathan Kraft, because now Elliott Wolf can say, "Well, we didn't do like the other guy did. We didn't just throw the rookie in there, and we had someone here who could hold his hand a little bit, even though it has not created any competition." I've said it since the jump that both quarterbacks seem really comfortable with, I'll be in for a little bit, and, well, the kid will take over. And the kid didn't come in and say, damn it, I'm grabbing this thing from the jump. Everybody has just kind of got along to get along. This is the process. This is the plan. This is how we're going to sort of execute it. But really, who is it for? It's for the guys who have done the let me take back my franchise. Now that Robert Kraft is gone, because it's the, hey, we're going to make sure to handle with care. That way, Mayo, who even at 0-17 is probably damn near unfireable after this year because RKK loves him. But if you're Elliott Wolf, that's the perfect way to middle it, to protect your ass, while also have this guy that you can say to your bosses, hey, I'm telling you, someday he's going to be the future type thing.
Well, I've actually heard this idea posed by members of the media that not playing Drake May
mm-hmm.
is the greatest job security for Elliott Wolf and Gerard May.
No question.
If you sit May for the entire season and go 0-17, whatever it is,
yep.
you still have we were doing behind the scenes what needed to be done with AVP and Ben McAdoo and the development of Drake May. And next year he'll get on the field and all the work we've put in will pay off. But there's this forward thinking approach that makes them unfireable
mm-hmm.
in that situation. And I hate that idea. The idea of resting him the whole year and not putting him out there, especially after what we've seen. I think one thing that's become quite clear with Drake May, he's a game day guy. He's a competitor, an athlete. He's better than he is when, Alex Van Pelt is saying, okay, I need you in this drill to hit the comeback, but I need your fifth step to make sure your foot is perpendicular to the sideline. And you do that, and I think he just overwired and smoke starts coming out of. You put Drake May out there and say, listen, just play football. You've been pretty good at it for 22 years in your life. Keep doing it. I think he's better in that situation.
Yeah, it's what you just said there was Jimmy Garoppolo-like.
Okay. You mean the quarterback who went to the Super Bowl and was one throw away from winning the Super Bowl?
Oh, that come
Jimmy Garoppolo.
On. Oh, here we go.
God forbid we go back to the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
Who would want to go to the Super Bowl with Drake May?
Listen to this guy now. Now the revisionist history of Andy Hart. My
Did I say
God.
Anything that was not a fact? Did
no,
he go to the Super Bowl?
No,
was he one throw away from winning the Super Bowl?
No, I didn't, but everybody was crapping all over the guy whenever he left here and all that. It's a convenient use for you.
That's what I do.
After crapping all over Garoppolo forever.
And, I didn't crap on him as much as others did.
And both of us did it, really rooted in torturing Mike Giardi, who has an unhealthy love lust for the guy.
That's true.
So, but even past that, you now flip it around of the... That's like Jared Goff took a team to a Super Bowl. Let's bring him in. Or think of him.
Jared Goff is another example also of this fear of breaking rookies. Jared Goff had one of the worst rookie years I've ever seen in my life. Did he break? He's been to two Super Bowls since.
Well, he was with Das Wunderkind.
No,
Mr.
Das Wunderkind came later. Well, he was with Jeff Fisher when he sucked.
Mr. Tight Pants ended up fixing him. We need
you
more.
Use your hands a lot
need
above
more,
your shoulders.
We need more tight pants around.
Are you signaling
here to
in defensive calls every segment?
Sure.
We're going to go jazz hands, yeah. Quotes,
it's the where's,
fire,
it's the,
lightning.
It's the where's the pass rush. It was
cover two.
How come we're not holding teams to 6 points like last year?
We got a ghost. We're yeah. a robber.
We have a ghost of a great defensive robber. Guy on the sideline who's now turned into a statue. No.
I'm going to keep waiting for the – we have 3 hours left. We're starting the countdown, not to the regular season. That's 17 days.
Hey, let me ask you
hours.
This. How many
Five
you,
things you like.
How many you think the head coach can come up with? I'll wait.
The head coach, not many. Elliot Wolf, based on the way he still says that the tackles are good
a
and
ton.
Still says the right. He would come up with a lot. Now, I would.
Well, he's justifying that O-line that will
True.
Now be in front of his rookie QB.
And all I can think of is Ron Burgundy in my head. I don't believe you. Because I don't believe Elliot Wolf thinks this team is as good as he says it is publicly.
What is more likely on opening day? The Patriots pull out a win? Or get pumped by 35. That's next.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Now, more Gresh and Fourier on WEEI.
So, Andy Hart, it feels like whatever the plan is that has been collaboratively constructed for Drake May. It feels like they're sticking to the plan, doesn't it?
I don't know. I don't know what the plan was.
Well, I feel like the plan was, here's Jacoby for a month or so. Let the kid get his feet underneath of him. Let the coaching staff get their, you know, get rid of their cranius rectus as well through the first 4 weeks. And then here we go. We can get upright and kind of rolling and going on. This is where it feels like the experience, or at least being around the experience that was the Green Bay Packers, how they handled quarterbacks. This very much feels like, to me, whatever plan this is, and I think it is something to the effect of bring in the kid, let him do his thing, let him get used to the NFL, we'll keep working with him, and then he'll get in there at some point this year. It feels very Elliott Wolfish, and if you're a guy like Jerod Mayo, there's not exactly the gravitas there or the offensive experience there for him to, like, pull a Sean Payton and be like, oh, no, I'm an offensive guy, and we're going to play this guy early and da-da-da, very much going along to get along in terms of the creation of the plan.
The problem there is,
yes,
I don't believe Elliott Wolf.
You and your problems.
Yes, lots of problems. I'm still waiting for you to hit me up with one of the five things you like.
I talked about Elliott Wolf, did I not? I just talked about him glowingly.
That counts.
He's done a nice job.
The executive.
Yeah.
So we've mentioned nothing about anyone who will be standing on the turf on game day.
Well,
you didn't mention a player or a coach or anyone can affect a game on Sundays.
You know what? Elliott Wolf should ride this, because had he gotten Calvin Ridley at $30 million a year, it would have taken us 8 games to realize that was a mistake.
But
nevertheless.
I immediately asked them, whatever show I was on, because I have trouble keeping track what shows I'm on.
Sure.
I asked them to play Garth Brooks' Thank God for Unanswered Prayers.
There you go.
Because I think that's what that is. If you had signed him, you would have regretted it. Right. And I think the best thing that he ever did was not sign him. And that in the future, when they spend that money on an actual number one, on actual high-end talent.
When they screw it up later, we'll say, at least it's not Calvin Ridley.
Nope. When they get Garrett Wilson from the Jets for $150 million, that I'll take. Stop laughing.
God almighty.
Anyway, back to Elliott Wolf, the QB plan.
What's wrong with you?
Has anyone ever sat a rookie quarterback, first-round pick, behind a starter? Can I steal your air quotes?
Sure.
Starter.
Hey, we're in air quote season this year with this team.
Starter who was as putrid as Jacoby Brissett. Because the problem this summer is as simple as how bad Jacoby Brissett has looked. And look no further than that interception forcing it to Austin Hooper, that Jerod Mayo visually looked pissed on the sideline, and then audibly sounded pissed when he did his Zoom with the media the next day, right? Like, he is Jacoby Brissett is making this hard on everyone with how badly he is playing, because he's supposed to be here to not make dumb mistakes, to hit the plays that are there. Oh, there's a guy down there. He's 12 yards away. He's wide open. You throw the ball to him, then we won't go anywhere after that, but we'll kick a field goal,
mm-hmm.
right? And we're not doing that. You're not doing that. You're turning the ball over. People tend to forget the series right after he threw the pick, he tried again. He was like, had a guy on his ankle, and he just chucked it up over the middle like a rookie quarterback, and it didn't get picked, but it easily could have. So it's great to say we're going to sit a guy behind a veteran, because the veteran's ready. Pro ready was Jerod Mayo's term.
Pro ready.
I would hope so. He's been in the league 10 years.
Well, he can put his hands under center and take a snap every time.
And that's pro ready. Perfect. But when it's as bad as it is, that creates pressure. That creates problems. And then when you add in Drake May with a little uptick and an ooh throw, and ooh, he's making more throws and he's looking better rather than worse, that adds to it. But the biggest problem Jerod Mayo has right now with the plan, whatever the plan is Jacoby Brissett and how poorly he has played.
Well, in the moment right now, that definitely is a factor. I think the bigger factor that worries me a little more is through collaboration.
Oh boy, air quotes again.
We've come up with the plan for this guy,
mm-hmm.
and to me, it satiates in many ways two people, Robert and Jonathan Kraft, because now Elliott Wolf can say, well, we didn't do like the other guy did. We didn't just throw the rookie in there, and we had someone here who could hold his hand a little bit, even though it has not created any competition. I've said it since the jump that both quarterbacks seem really comfortable with, yeah, I'll be in for a little bit, and, well, the kid will take over, and the kid didn't come in and say, damn it, I'm grabbing this thing from the jump. Everybody has just kind of got along to get along. This is the process. This is the plan. This is how we're going to sort of execute it. But really, who is it for? It's for the guys who have done the let me take back my franchise now that Robert Kraft is gone, because it's the, hey, we're going to make sure to handle with care. That way, Mayo, who even at 0-17 is probably damn near unfireable after this year because RKK loves him. But if you're Elliot Wolf, that's the perfect way to middle it, to protect your ass, while also have this guy that you can say to your bosses, hey, I'm telling you, someday he's going to be the future type thing.
Well, I've actually heard this idea posed by members of the media that not playing Drake May is the greatest job security for Elliot Wolf and Gerard May.
No Mayo. Question.
If you sit May for the entire season and go 0-17, whatever it is,
yep,
you still have the, well, we were doing behind the scenes what needed to be done with AVP and Ben McAdoo and the development of Drake May. And next year he'll get on the field and all the work we've put in will pay off. But there's this forward-thinking approach that makes them unfireable in that situation. And I hate that idea. The idea of resting him the whole year and not putting him out there, especially after what we've seen. I think one thing that's become quite clear with Drake May, he's a game day guy. He's a competitor, an athlete. He's better than he is when, you know, Alex Van Pelt is saying, okay, I need you in this drill to hit the comeback, but I need your fifth step to make sure your foot is perpendicular to the sideline. And you do that, and I think he just overwired and smoke starts coming out of. You put Drake May out there and say, listen, just play football. You've been pretty good at it for 22 years in your life. Keep doing it. I think he's better in that situation.
Yeah, it's what you just said there was Jimmy Garoppolo-like.
Okay. You mean the quarterback who went to the Super Bowl and was one throw away from winning the Super Bowl?
Oh, that Jimmy Garoppolo. Oh, here we go.
God forbid we go back to the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
Who would want to go to the Super Bowl with Drake May?
Listen to this guy now. Now the revisionist history of Andy Hart.
Did I say anything that was not a fact? Did he go to the Super Bowl?
No,
was he one throw away from winning the Super Bowl?
No, I didn't, but everybody was crapping all over the guy whenever he left here and all that. It's a convenient use for you.
That's what I do.
After crapping all over Garoppolo forever.
And crap on him as much as others did.
And both of us did it, really rooted in torturing Mike Giardi, who has an unhealthy love lust for the guy.
That's true.
So, but even past that, you now flip it around of the... That's like Jared Goff took a team to a Super Bowl. Let's bring him in. Or think of him.
Jared Goff is another example also of this fear of breaking rookies. Jared Goff had one of the worst rookie years I've ever seen in my life. Did he break? He's been to two Super Bowls since.
Well, he was with Das Wunderkind.
Das Wunderkind came later. Well, he was with Jeff Fisher when he sucked.
Mr. Tight Pants ended up fixing him. We need more.
Use your hands a lot above your shoulders.
We need more tight pants around.
Are you signaling in defensive calls every segment?
Sure.
We're going to go jazz hands, quotes, lightning.
It's the where's the pass rush. It was
cover two.
How come we're not holding teams to 6 points like last year?
We got a ghost. We're a robber.
We have a ghost of a great defensive robber. Guy on the sideline who's now turned into a statue. No.
I'm going to keep waiting for we have 3 hours left. We're starting the countdown, not to the regular season. That's 17 days.
Hey, let me ask you this. How many
things you like?
How many you think the head coach can come up with? I'll wait.
The head coach, not many. Elliot Wolf, based on the way he still says that the tackles are good he would come up with a lot. Now, I would.
Well, he's justifying that O-line that will now be in front of his rookie QB.
And all I can think of is Ron Burgundy in my head. I don't believe you. Because I don't believe Elliot Wolf thinks this team is as good as he says it is publicly.
What is more likely on opening day? The Patriots pull out a win? Or get pumped by 35. That's next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
For draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.